mean people affect me. But I don't like hanging around mean people. Ugly people. Got a smart mouth. Somebody say amen right there. I said, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, go find you a place you do like. And leave me alone. Leave my people alone. That's right. Not only should the people stand for the preacher, the preacher ought to stand for his people. I'm glad I got some folks run, cry, and shout. I'm glad I got some people loves each other this morning. Thank God we ain't tied up in a bunch of voting and committing and decorating. Lord Jesus, I dread May coming. They may come and they may probably won't. Just good to be saved, ain't it? I've been preaching in Alabama all week. I'm meaner than a junkyard dog. Sometimes we need a preacher with a little mean streak in him. The love of Jesus has some backbone about him. I don't know where y'all ever got a preacher supposed to be a sissy anyhow. Amen. We ought to stand for what's right, preach the Word of God. The Bible said, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. I believe it. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, thank God for the brethren with me. Hey, are you with me this morning? I mean, are you really with me? Do you really want to see what God's got for a ministry down in Bowden, Georgia? It's enough cliquey churches. It's enough hobnogging going on. We need a place where we can go and hear the Word of God and the Holy Ghost move and help our lives and our hearts and our homes and our marriages. Some of you ladies need to get under subjection of your husband. I can look back at you the way you look at me. He said, grace be to you and peace. No place we ever find where peace came first. Because, honey, you'll never have no peace till grace comes. I'm glad grace brings some things. It brings peace and it brings pardon and it brings a place. And I'm glad one day grace came my way and saved me by His good, amazing grace. I was looking for peace in all the wrong places. Boy, I'm glad the day grace came. He brought peace. So he said, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sin. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. The only difference, some of us, our sins have been washed away. So he said, who gave Himself. Honey, let me tell you, the devil didn't put Him on the cross. He put Himself on the cross because He loves something like me and you. That's amazing that He would give Himself. And look what He said. That He might deliver us from this present evil world. Some of you, the world's got you. And all you think about is the world and worldly things. But honey, there's coming a day this world's going to burn up. And you better know something about the grace of God. You better know that your name is written down yonder in glory. I ain't talking about playing church, honey. I'm talking about being born again by the grace of God, filled with the Holy Ghost and a new creature in Christ this morning. He said, delivered from this present evil where you can tell them that Jesus ain't got the world, got them. They smell like the world, look like the world, act like the world. Hey, Christian, you ain't got no business in a pool room. You ain't got no business in a juke joint. You ain't got no business living like the devil. If you're a child of God, you ought to live like a child of God. You ought to dress like a child of God and look like a child. You boys ought to cut your hair. Get the earrings out of your head. You ain't a girl, you're a boy. Yeah, amen. Little old girly looking thing. Buddy, he ain't taking my girl out of the driveway. Now, some of you looking around like a calf at a new gate, but I come on down here to preach this morning. We need the Word of God in our lives. When Jesus saved me, I quit hanging around them places. And nobody had called, tell me it's time to come to church. People's confused about this thing of salvation. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when Jesus changes you, He'll deliver you from this present evil world. Now, if Paul, writing in Galatia, thought that it was a present evil world 2,000 years ago, I wonder what he'd write this morning. Because, buddy, the Bible's true. It's going to wax worse and worse. He said that He might deliver us from the present evil world. Now watch your Bible. According to the will of God in our Father. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's not the will of God the world would have you, sir. It's the will of God that you'd be dedicated and consecrated to the things of the Lord. You're to be the head of the house and the husband of your family, the husband. You're to keep things together. Sir, it's your responsibility to bring your babies to the house of God. It's your responsibility to keep your home in order. Well, my wife's more spiritual than me. That's your issue. He's no respecter of person. If you'd get off the Facebook and get in His book, you'd be a lot better this morning. You little 21st century whiny babies. Boy, we need some men back in our churches that'll raise their family. Hey, if you ain't going to bring your babies to church, would you call me and I'll get somebody to bring them? You'll take them out to the ball field. You're teaching them how to live. You better get interested in teaching them how to die. Would somebody say amen? I mean, would somebody say amen? Lord, we can't have revival in April, May because ball fields. You'll show up to ball practice, but you think it's too much if the preacher has revival. You got a screw loose. What's wrong with you? I ain't even started yet. The world's getting you babies. You turn them out to the world, and when they come home in trouble, you wonder what happened. It's hard enough to keep youngins right in the house of God. Somebody say amen right there. It's hard enough to have a family where God wants you at, where the Word of God is feeding your heart and the Holy Ghost is ministering to you. And you got loved ones in the church you can fellowship with and love on you. You may think you don't need a church, but people, they get to needing it when they go to dying. I've just chosen it to be a big part of my living. Anything that's worth dying for, it's worth living for. I'm glad I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad the Baptist ain't got me. Turn around and tell somebody, say, I'm glad the Baptist ain't got me. Some of you act like the Methodist got you. Now, I'm interested in this phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice when Paul's writing, he said in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we use the term the Lord Jesus very mildly. Let me tell you something. He's not Savior today, then Lord tomorrow, honey. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm going to heaven. Are you really? Well, you're not going. I'm going to say if He ain't Lord of your life. Because, honey, if He's not Lord of your life, you've never met Him this morning. Well, I believe in Jesus. The Bible said the devils in hell believe and tremble. They ain't going to heaven I'm going to. You better know, he said, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal. You listen to me. That baptismal pool over there, you can be baptized, every catfish knows your name. You'll still die and go to hell. Water don't wash your sins away. This is one of the best churches in the South. To belong to it don't matter to him in glory, honey, on judgment day. Your sins must be gone. Some of you say, well, I'll go to church down there where Brother Ken preaches. I know I'm all right. Honey, Brother Ken ain't got nothing to do with it. I wish the God of glory would step in your life and prove to you you ain't got what you say you got. You better listen to this old country preacher. This hobnogging around with the world and tiptoeing through society, and you've got no conviction about your sin, no conviction about your lifestyle. You've never been saved by the grace of God. You say, well, I don't know why you preaching this away. Well, we're going to have to do something if I don't. I'd rather have good growth, the right growth. But honey, if you can't take preaching, ain't no sense in hanging around here because your feelings going to get hurt. I ain't trying to run nobody off. I'm just telling you how it is this morning. You better know that your name's written down yonder in glory. You say, well, preacher, I believe in Jesus. That don't get you to heaven. Bible said you must be born again. Some of you don't even know when you got born again. How are you going to heaven if you don't know you've been born again? You joined the church with your little cousin in revival, but did you get born again? You joined the church, but are you saved by the grace of God? Does the Holy Ghost live in you? Does God live inside you? Yeah. Honey, I can't do what I used to do. And you can't neither if you've ever been saved by the grace of God. Sure, we make mistakes. But honey, let me tell you, I can just do a little something wrong and I'm convicted about it. I wish we could get back to our convictions of this book and of our forefathers when shacking up was still wrong, amen, and when living like the devil was still living like the devil, and the church was separated and consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Honey, I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I'm interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people say that they have a Christ. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Muslims bypass Christ. They say He was a good prophet. Let me tell you, honey, if you bypass Christ, hell will be your home this morning. The Jehovah Witness, they have a Christ, but He's not the Son of God. Nor did He rise from the dead, because according to them, His body was dissolved into gas in the tomb. Mormons have a Christ. Their Christ was a polygamist, secretly married to Martha and Mary at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. But honey, He's not our Lord Jesus Christ. Seventh-day Adventists, they have a Christ, but He did not bear our sins in His own body on the tree. According to them, Satan was the scapegoat, and our sins was put on Him. This is not the Christ of the Lord of glory. Catholics have a Christ. Priest makes Him by pronouncing five Latin words over a wafer of bread in the Mass. This is not our Lord Jesus Christ. Liberals have a Christ. But their Christ was not virgin born. His miracles were shams of the hand. His life was only a good example. His death was an unfortunate martyrdom. And His resurrection was only a myth. Their Christ is not our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, there's a recording of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, verse 8. Praise God, it's good to be saved. Matthew 1 and verse number 8. the recording of the Lord Jesus. You'll notice in verse 18, there was a Holy Ghost birth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost birth. I still believe in the Holy Ghost conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost birth. The Bible said, verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. I still believe that. If your Bible says a young lady, throw it on the floor. Said a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. It's not was God with us, but is God with us. There's a Holy Ghost blessing. He was God. I'm glad of that. The recording of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the reporting of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's reported in the Bible that He was God manifested in the flesh. He became God, man. That's amazing to me. He left heaven, got in the womb of a virgin woman, and was carried through this world in her womb and was born as the God-man. You say, that's bigger than I am. It's bigger than I am, but I believe it this morning. Matter of fact, Joseph had problem believing it. He said, Mary, you're such a good person. And now, Mary, we've been in dating and courtship a long time, but now you're with child. I didn't think you was that way, Mary. But an angel come to him. Boy, ain't you glad God can send you a messenger when you just can't believe what's going on. And he said, it's true, Joseph. Don't put her away. Says she's found with child of the Holy Ghost and she's still a virgin. Boy, it shook him up. And so then the baby was born and he became God-man. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, honey. The virgin birth is very important this morning. And I don't care what any liberal politician or liberal preachers had to say to you. It took the virgin birth conceived of the Holy Ghost to give us a Savior that had never known sin this morning. This is a cardinal doctrine of our faith. Virgin birth. Holy Ghost conceived. The recording of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reporting of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He became God-man. Look in your Bible, John chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It does not imply a start, but it implies a state. In the beginning was the Word. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The reporting of the Lord Jesus, I would say He lived a sinful life. He lived a sinless life. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He never known sin. He lived a sinless life. Your Bible records it in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. You say, preacher, how is He God-man and never become sin or never known sin? Because He was God manifested in the flesh. Never done one thing that was wrong, never made a mistake. My goodness, what a Savior this morning. He lived a sinless life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Isn't that amazing? that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. God put all our sins on Jesus in the cross. And when we believe in Jesus, He puts all His righteousness over our sin. That's amazing to me. What a God this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, the recording of the Lord Jesus, the reporting of the Lord Jesus, He lived a sinless life. He raised the dead. Do you believe that? Remember Mary and Martha sent after Him, said, Lord, said our brother's sick. He stayed 2 days in the same place where he was. He turned around and told His disciples, said, let us go to Judea. They said, hey, Lord, said, the Jews as of late have tried to stone You in Judea. But He went. He said, oh, I must go and awake my friend out of his sleep. Ain't it amazing the rocks people throwed at Him, He'll come back from time to time. Isn't it amazing the things you've done and said, but yet Jesus loved you enough, He come back to you again. Isn't it amazing the places He'll come again? And my goodness, He lived a sinless life. He raised the dead. He cried and said, Lazarus, come forth. If He hadn't said Lazarus, He'd have emptied every graveyard around that country. Lazarus, come forth. And I'm going to tell you, He got him out of the grave. He's going to get me out of the grave on getting up morning. Now, He lived a sinless life. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He healed the sick. The woman with an issue of blood had it 12 years. She tried every doctor in the country and spent all she had. But she come and touched the hem of His garment, and immediately the Bible said she was made whole. Nobody like this Jesus, friend. Oh my goodness, He healed the sick. Then in John 6, He fed the hungry. The disciples said, Lord, look at all these people. How are we going to feed them? He said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient to feed them. I love what Jesus said. He said, just set them down. And let me tell you, when we sit down, the bigger He gets. When we sit down, the bigger He looks. Hey, sir, why don't you try to quit doing it yourself and go letting Jesus do it? My goodness, He fed the hungry. He turned water into wine. I don't know about y'all, but He turned wine into furniture in my house. Can I get a witness? Some of y'all, Jesus just ain't come in the house right. Honey, when He gets there, though, He's going to change the wine into furniture and other things that'll be a blessing to you. Somebody say amen right there. He turned the water into wine. And then, notice He walked on the water. And I believe that the reporting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody like our Lord. They can have theirs. I'll take ours. There's no wave over Him. There's no sea too wide. There's nothing too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. The recording of the Lord Jesus. The reporting of the Lord Jesus. But there's the redeeming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13... there the Bible reads this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The redeeming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word redeem, that word simply means to pay a price or to buy back. Aren't you glad He paid the price for your sin and my sin? The Lord Jesus Christ, a big difference. Honey, He's the Lord Jesus Christ in His redeeming work. In Colossians 2 and verse number 8, I love this verse. The Bible says this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 13, you being dead in your sins, uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly and triumphing over them in it. Oh, the redeeming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad we've got a Redeemer that paid the price for you and I? Then there's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about it, ain't nobody like our Lord Jesus. I like that song Brother Chris sings, Honey, Buddha's in the grave. But Jesus got out of the grave. And nobody's Lord is like our Lord. Not only the redeeming work, but His resurrecting work. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1. There the Bible reads, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye receive, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. He said, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 12, Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yeah, we're found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. And they then also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Boy, I'm glad it's more to it than this, aren't you? The Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrecting power. Honey, let me tell you, the dirt couldn't hold Him, death couldn't hold Him, and the devil couldn't hold Him. Oh, I'm glad on that great getting up morning, dirt ain't going to hold me. Death ain't going to hold me. And the devil ain't going to hold me. My goodness, when death comes, you know something? We hang on to every bush on this side of the river. I ain't wanting to go on this load today, but if I go, glory to God, I know in whom I believe. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm saved, glory to God. I'm glad on getting up morning. When Jesus comes and calls me out of that grave, I'm getting up because death has no hold on me. Boy, they roll me in this church one day if the Lord don't come. My goodness. By the way, I done told my wife, told these deacons, be sure to put me out yonder someplace on that hillside. Amen. Amen. Praise God, some of us going to be out there and we're going to get up together. What a blessing, Brother Mike. Brother Mike, can you imagine? Can you imagine that morning? Brother Dave, can you imagine that morning when we get up and all them folks been a-laughing and a-talking? My goodness, them old-fashioned Baptists. My goodness. Why, them holy rollers. Why, them folks down there that run and shout and scream and cry when they pray. They're so emotional. You're emotional too when you lose your temper. Boy, can you imagine when we get up out of that grave out yonder? Can y'all imagine when Miss Carolyn gets up? Can y'all imagine when she sees little old Cindy and gets up together? Brother Chuck, thou art not waste no vault on me. I'm getting up. Put my vault money in missions. I don't need no vault. Praise God. You can put me in a pine box. Just put me in something. Don't burn me up. Put me over yonder in a hole. Praise God. The Bible said the trump's going to sound. Oh, my goodness, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you imagine when we get to see Him, our Lord Jesus Christ? Ma'am, I want to tell you something this morning. I don't care what any preacher's told you. The Lord Jesus died for your sins on a cross, and the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can wash you clean. Sir, I don't care how good you trying to be. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. It takes the blood of Calvary to wash us clean. Boy, I'm glad I know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say that there's the recording of the Lord Jesus. It's the reporting of the Lord. He became God-man. And let me ask you this. I studied this truth out this week. I'm closing. I want you to get this thought right here. When He went back to heaven, the Bible said now when we come to the throne of grace, He has the feelings of our infirmities. He took a heart back different than the one He brought. Because He became God-man. And now He has the feelings that you and I know about. But yet He never knew sin. Never knew sin. If He was not God in the flesh, that sacrifice could not have saved man. But it was holy blood. A holy God got on that cross and shed His blood. He did not spill His blood. He shed His blood for you and for me. Ms. Sherry, I want you and Brother David to come a minute. That brings me back to the reconciling of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Hebrews 7 and verse number 23. Now I want you to watch the story as it's laid out in the Bible. The Lord Jesus was born. The Lord Jesus became God-man and He walked through this earth. He walked through here doing many miracles. He got on a cross and He died. He shed His blood. He went in the grave. The Bible said that He was there 3 days. And He was resurrected. The Bible said that He's ascended up on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for me and you. And the Bible uses a word of reconciling. In Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 17, the Bible says this, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Reconciliation. Preacher, what is that? It means that He brings us to God. You cannot get to God without Jesus. He says He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's not another way. All roads don't lead to heaven. Let me share if you come. The reconciling of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it amazing somebody as holy as Him, when we come to Him by faith, He reconciles us to God. He's the only way that we can get to God. You say, "Preacher, I'm going to take my chances." You'll lose. You'll lose. I'm glad I'm on the winning side this morning. Now, isn't that amazing? You think about this a minute. You remember when you come to Christ? He reached and got you. And He brought you to God. You couldn't get to God. But He brought you to God. He reconciled. He redeemed. He paid that price, and He brings you back together. And then with this Lord Jesus Christ, not only His reconciling, but there is the return, and Jesus is coming. A lot of people say, "Oh, preacher, you really believe? Oh, He's coming." Hey, daddies, let me tell you, it's so real that He's coming. You better get your house in order. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven. Lord, I'm glad the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What's your number, Brother David? Number one.